everybody. Welcome to Random Reflections. This is episode number 3. And today we're going to talk a little bit about going back to foundations. So two things happened this week that made me think about this as a topic. One is there was somebody in the class I attend, and I heard them behind me complaining to the instructor, "I don't understand why my dog's making the mistake. My dog knows this." And the instructor was telling her to break it down, right? Like into a smaller piece. And that was her complaint. Well, got news for you people. You're always going to have to go back and break it down and refresh the pieces.
Yeah.
And so something that happened actually to both Lori and I, but happened to me first, technically, I guess. I don't know. So for a while, both of my dogs, they just haven't been doing the articles the way they usually do. My dogs usually run out air scent. They're very confident, find the right one very quickly, bring it back. So they were making some subtle little mistakes, like picking the incorrect one up, putting it down, then getting the correct one, or scenting every single article, which they don't really need to do that typically. Anyway, so it just wasn't the way I wanted it to look, right? So what I did was I went back to how I taught scent articles, which was with these like metal tins, for lack of a better word, just to keep it simple, right? And when my dogs are puppies, young puppies, it's just a really fun scent game that we do. We just put the tins out there. I put my scent on one. Initially, I pair it with food. My dogs don't even have a hold or a fetch behavior, so they just indicate it with a sustained nose touch, and they think it's super fun. And when I taught it with that method, my dogs would, you could clearly see them running out, kind of air scenting, honing in on the correct spot. And I'm just going to stop. We'll just edit this piece out.
Yeah, right.
People are walking by with tubes.
With what? Tubes?
Giant tubes. I live on a river.
Oh.
There's a river across the street.
Okay.
Which they can't access from here. So I think they go up higher, tube down the river, walk back up. I don't know, whatever. That's
yeah.
What people do. I don't do it, but. And they dared walk by, so whatever. Okay, anyway. So I taught my dog with tins, so metal tins. So I scent one. I pair it with food initially. I fade that really quickly because they just figure it out super fast because it's just natural for them. And they do a sustained nose touch, and they think it's super fun. And they learn very quickly to air scent. And they're really confident when they do it. They love it because it's just a fun game that we do. There's no pressure. There's not a lot of rules at all, right? And they have really good emotions about it because it's just fun. It's just a super fun trick they do. So I went back. I dug my scent boxes out of the attic and I put them all out and I scented one and I put it out there, my dog to it, and my dog runs out, and it was actually kind of surprising because I haven't done it with Zest in like 5 years, with Zaina in like 8 or 9 years. Ran right out, boom boom, they're like, "Oh, this game," indicated the correct one, perfect. And then they made a couple of the similar mistakes like they made with scent articles, but I was able to work through it like no big deal. And there was no negativity around it. And now that was not going to affect my articles, right? Because I wasn't doing articles per se. So all that negativity, I just worked it out, worked through it very quickly. And then once they were consistently doing the tins the way I wanted, then I did 2 rounds of it, and then I moved over and I did regular scent articles, and my dogs ran out to my scent articles and did them just like they did the tins. Yeah. Right. So now I worked through that whole thing without even having to do it within the quote unquote formal exercise, right?
Right.
So then you and I were training and Ever just looked like not confident with the article. She just was unsure.
Yeah.
So same, I just said, why don't you go back to doing the tins? And I happened to have the bag of the tins in my car because I've been working on it. And we threw them out forever. And within just like 3 reps, you could see her confidence build like every rep, every rep.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting to me because the way we train some of the foundation pieces, either through shaping games or whatever, you know, we're always working on motivation. We're always trying to make it something enjoyable for the dog. I want my dog to enjoy all the things that I'm teaching them. So all those foundation pieces in our training have like a really good, like emotional response attached to them. Like my dogs love those pieces because it's how we trained them as puppies and everything was fun. So, you know, as everybody knows who does obedience long enough, like pieces break and pieces get weak. And sometimes, like I like to say, sometimes things get like contaminated, like something happens, the dog starts to overthink, dog starts to worry. And, you know, how do we fix that? Well, going like what we did with the scent articles, we were able to go back and be like, how did we teach that? I always go back to that. Like, well, and I ask my students that, well, how did you teach that? And that's just super helpful because then I think people forget or they're not thinking in the, they're not thinking about, do I need to go all the way back to the beginning? That's hard for people, I think. They're either not thinking about it or they don't want to go back to the beginning. Because then they feel like they're training. Oh my God, I got to go all the way back to the beginning. Well, you do, but it's not going to take long. Like you said, it took a couple reps, a couple sessions before your dogs were like, oh yeah. And it's like a dog who's been trained through whatever behavior you're doing and you have to go back to simplifying back to a foundation piece. It is going to take no time at all to get back to where you were in the training. You go back to the foundation piece and then quickly you can put it right back into your exercise. And hopefully that piece is fixed and life goes on, right?
Well, I think people also feel that once the dog has passed those steps,
yeah,
they know those steps. Therefore, why would I go back to that? I've already taught my dog that. My dog, quote unquote, knows it. And I was so lucky with my first board of field training, because I was so lucky that I had some incredibly great trainers that were sort of not very, quote unquote, traditional for that sport. They were really into breaking things down. So, for example, on blind retrieves, we taught the dog, the trainer created these drills, right? And we would always go back and do those drills. It didn't matter how advanced or what titles our dogs had. We would routinely go back and do those quote-unquote simple drills for the dogs.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the same in every sport I've ever done. Like, and you always go back to the fundamentals. It makes, and sometimes I'll do it. So, for example, if we have a snowstorm, right, and I can only train in my sunroom, perfect. I do foundation pieces and my dogs love it. Right. And they think it's super fun. And then when I go back later in the week and that piece is back in the exercise, it's always sharper. And my dog's always like, yeah, I know how to do this. This is super fun. Right. It's never like, oh, I have nothing to do in the sunroom because my dogs already know how to do pivots. They already know how to drop in front of me. they already know how to do fronts. No, I do like up close front games. I do pivot games. I do get into heel position games. I'll do like a nose, sustained nose touch behavior. All these different pieces that I taught, I originally, foundation pieces that I taught my dog in preparation for full exercises.
Yeah.
And my dogs love it. They think it's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Because, you know, all the good stuff that we pack on those foundation pieces, that they remember that stuff. So as soon as we go back to that, they're like, oh, yeah. And then their confidence boosts and they're able to just carry on. We can stick it right back in. What's important, too, about foundation pieces is I guess if it's if there's a training issue and you're not sure why it's breaking or why that's happening, that's the thing I always go back to or tell my students too, is go back to your foundation piece and make sure that piece is solid, because sometimes either it has weakened or it wasn't taught thoroughly enough. And you're going to find your problem there, sitting right at the foundation piece, that you just have to quickly, I wouldn't say retrain it, but you need to firm it up, you know, and make that more solid. And then you're able to stick it back into, and then hopefully that solves a problem. So revisiting those is, yeah.
I think sometimes you mentioned this earlier, which is important too, is that sometimes people don't want to go back for two reasons. One is, oh God, I have to go through the whole process again. Right. But the other part is they're like, well, I taught that right. Well, maybe you did. So I recently had a situation with a student where he started showing his dog an open, and the dog would like at different spots drop the dumbbell. And it looked like it was pressure in a couple trials. Then it looked like it was then it looked like something else. And then at the end of the, and I know that this person taught holds correctly and went through all the steps, right? But at the end of the day, we figured out it was a hold problem. So it doesn't matter that he taught it right. Somewhere along the line, something happened. I don't know what happened. I'm not going to lie. I have no idea what happened. He doesn't know what happened. Doesn't matter. Right. So we sat down the other day and we went through we just kind of reviewed the steps of hold, right? Like the dog's, you know, just going to take the dumbbell out of my mouth, out of my hand and hold it. The dog's going to add duration. We're going to add some motion. And these are all the steps, right? I guarantee he's going to fly through the steps, right? But by going through that process, at some point, we're going to find out where the hole is. And at some point, something got weak. Who knows why? Right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So refreshing it is only going to improve the dog's confidence. It's going to fix that hole wherever in the process of the hole training the hole is. Right. And then when he's done going through that process, the problem will be resolved. Right. You know, so for me, I think that knowing that when all else fails, I can always fix a problem by going backwards, right? Start going back to where I started and kind of going through those steps, and that will reveal a hole. I think that's great, because the biggest problem people have is, how do I fix this problem, right?
Right.
Like, and then they're staying like where they're at, and they're like, come on, dog, figure this out, dog. And then they're just stuck there, right? Instead of just saying, oh, well, when all else fails, just go back to how I taught it and go through those steps, right? To me, anytime I have the option of having a solution like that, I'm thrilled, because, now I can fix my problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing too, is you don't like, I'd rather be able to be like, all right, let me go all the way back to the beginning and just quickly go through and check boxes to make sure everything's still solid and firm. And like you said, more often than not, you're going to find the hole there instead of pushing forward and forcing things to get better. where they're not, and then the dog gets stressed out because I think their egos get in the way sometimes. I'm not going to lie. And that's what I hear a lot, but he knows it. Some piece he doesn't know well, something happened along the lines, and it doesn't say anything about you as a trainer. All of us have to go back and fix mm-hmm. stuff all the time. Like, it's gonna break. It's gonna get weak. Like you said, do we know why? No. I'm not gonna even spend time really trying to find out the why. I'm just gonna fix it, right?
Right. Like, sometimes we know why, but sometimes we don't. And then at that point, that's what my first field trainer taught me. Like, so... It was hilarious. Yeah. I'm just laughing because bless his heart, he's not with us anymore, and which bums me out. But like, he was so funny. So like, a dog's supposed to run a straight line, right? Like, that's the simplest version. Like, but of course, you know, it's competition. So yeah, they set things up purposely to kind of get your dog so that your dog has to fight really hard to go straight, right?
Yeah.
So we set something up and the first dog like runs down and veers to the right. And so what does everybody do? Why did the dog do that? There's nothing there. What's wrong with the dog? He went right. Like, what's wrong with them? Right? And they just yell and scream at the dog, and next person goes. Dog runs down, next dog veers to the right. I don't understand what's wrong with these dogs. And he used to just be like, it doesn't matter. Help the dog, show him how to be right, move on.
Right.
Like, stop standing there going, what are they doing? Why are they acting like that? But who cares?
Right.
They're doing it wrong. Stop them. Say, buddy, don't go right. Go that way. Dog goes, oh, okay. You want me to go that way? Sure. Right. Within a couple reps, his dog, my dog, running straight. Their dogs still veering right. Right. Because because they get stuck in that mental mindset of, you know, the dog knows it. His thing is, if the dog knows it, the dog does it. If the dog's not doing it, the dog doesn't know it. It's pretty simple. Like, I like when things are that simple. Right. Like, stop with the mental head trash.
Yeah.
If he's not doing it, he doesn't know how to be right. Something's going on, and we have to figure out how to help the dog understand, right?
Right.
And we also like props. Like, people teach things on a prop, and then they get rid of the prop, and then they can't wait to get rid of the prop, and then it disappears forever.
Forever.
You know, like, I just literally brought, so Zesty was just not like dropping on a signal the way I wanted. And like, at first I'm like, break him out, drop faster. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, why am I even doing this? Let me just get his rug out.
Right.
Get his rug out, put the rug behind him. I didn't have to say a word, dropped him, did it exactly the way I want it. Cause he has a strong association with the rug. The rug gives him information, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't matter that he's an Otch 2. Doesn't matter that he's a fully trained dog. I put the rug out for him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put the rug out for him for the next 2 weeks because I want him to just be right and be happy and be successful and feel really good about it. And I don't have a problem using the rug. I mean, with Zeal, when I taught him to use the rug for like 9 months, I used that rug behind him 100% of the time in every training session and in every show and go. The only time that rug was not there was when he was in the ring.
Yeah, right.
And that thing, and that is that rug, and the what I taught him with the rug and the feelings he had with the rug are the only reason he won the national championship. The only reason. He would never have won it without that stupid rug. Right?
What are you saying?
The magic mat. I call it my magic mat. So the whole thing of like, it's the same thing. Like, well, why don't you bring your rug back out? Or why don't you bring your whatever prop back out? Well, my dog knows, you know, it's the same conversation, yeah, right?
It is.
No, just bring it back out. That's what it's there for. Like, part of the reason I have you teach it to your dog is so that we can use it later. Anytime we need it, we can just whip that thing back out.
Right.
And fix the problem without having to go through all the, you know, this huge process and like argue with the dog and like get the dog go. The dog's like, oh God, I don't know what this person wants. Like, doesn't have to be that hard.
Yeah. And that is what people do. They make it really hard. And I remember I was trialing somewhere and we had the match the day before. And this person was in the ring. I was waiting my turn to go in. And she is doing go out after. She must have done 20 fucking go outs on this dog. And the dog keeps making a mistake. And she's like, ugh. And she'd look over everybody. Like, the line is now forming because she's like fucking taking forever. And we're like all standing there like this poor freaking dog. And she looks over and she goes, he knows this. I don't know why he's doing this. And she'd do it again and again. And finally, I said to her, I said, something's not right. Your dog doesn't know how to be right. So you either need to make him right now or do it another time because we're all waiting for you. But she would have kept going and going instead of saying there's a hole in my training. Let me go back. Like it's just the sometimes the people who just get it in their heads like that the dog knows it. The dog is trained. Well, like you said, we've got fully trained dogs. I have zero issues. All my props are usually always in my car, and I will whip one out at any point to just make sure my dog's solid on that piece and help them be successful and confident for sure.
Well, and the irony is, it's like, this is the irony, right? Like, so in her case, she didn't help the dog.
Right.
Well, all she did was frustrate the hell out of not just the dog, but herself.
Yeah.
Right. So like, if I don't pull the prop out and I'm like trying to battle through something, well, I'm not having fun. My dog's not having fun. Whereas if I just whip that thing out, oh, he's happy. I'm happy. 2 or 3 reps. All's good. We're done. Move on to something else. So it's this weird, weird thing we get like stuck in. And I get it because like way back in the day before I knew better, like I can recall some sessions where I would get stuck like that. When sometimes, you know, look, some people don't know. But and some instructors don't teach it, right? Some instructors don't teach, hey, break it down, go back to that piece, refresh that piece, make it, you know, simplify it for the dog. Like, I tell people in healing all the time, like, so healing is a super, oh my God, it's such a complex exercise, right? So much is required of the dog. And then once a dog knows how to do a full healing pattern, that's all people do with their dogs.
Yeah.
Do a full healing pattern. And I routinely go through these sessions where I literally go 2 or 3 steps, right turn, yes, feed. 2 or 3.
Yeah.
I'll do that like 3 times. Then I'll go 2 or 3 steps, left turn, yes, feed. I'll do that 2 or 3 times. My dogs love that. And it does a weird thing too, right? Because if you really think about it, someone once said this to me, and at the time I was like, oh, I never really thought about that. Because sure, my body says we're going right, and my body says we're going left. But when I start healing, my dog does not know when I'm going to turn left or right. It's unpredictable, or about turn, or in what order these things are going to happen, right? So sometimes they lose a little confidence. I find when I do that, I'm kind of like saying, yeah, that remember, this is the cue. This is the right turn. I'm like refreshing all that information. This is my transition to a slow. And when I do that, the next time I do longer healing, my dog is so happy and so confident and so spot on because it's like, yep, I know how to do this. Yep, I know how to do that.
Yeah.
So I do that relatively routinely. I just go back, figure eight, like all of it. I just do the little pieces, reinforce those little pieces, you know, and most people are just doing the whole pattern every time, or like weave poles. They have a weave pole entry problem. So they're doing it in their yard. The dog finally gets the entry, and then they have them do the entire set of poles. And then at some point, maybe the dog misses a pole, and now it's like, you missed a pole, you know.
Yeah.
Just go. How did you teach it? You just only had two poles when you taught the weave pole entry. So why are you doing the whole rest of it?
Yeah.
Just put the two poles out. You know, review, go back to how you taught it. Like the way I was taught is you do this like around the clock thing, right? So I, you know, starting with the easiest entry and then moving incrementally, making it a little harder. So go back and do that. And then the dog's like, oh, I remember that. Oh, I know how to do this. And the dog's right over and over and over. And then the dog gets his confidence back, right?
Yeah.
And the dog's like, oh, okay, I know how to do that. And then when you go to put it all back together, the dog's like, got it, no problem, right? But instead, same thing. People are like constantly saying, you know, oh, come on, he knows how, same thing. He knows how to do this or you know, whatever the case. So I think at the end of the day, always go back to how you taught it. And this also goes back to good note taking. I just did a webinar on like creating a training plan last night. Because some people, I'll go, how did you teach this? Right? Like I'm trying to hint, like I'm trying to get them, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Think about it. Like, how'd you, I don't remember. So it's good to take notes.
Yeah, it is good to take notes.
So you can go back.
Yeah.
And refresh how you taught it.
That's right. So you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Foundations. And don't get stuck thinking. Don't have that whole mindset of, oh, I got to go all the way back to the beginning. It's not going to be like that. It's not like you're starting from scratch with a dog who doesn't know it. The dog knows it. You just need to go back and pick apart at the foundations to either refresh, remotivate, retrain, whatever, find the hole. And as soon as you do, you'll be back in action.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, right. Good.
I think that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Thanks, everybody.
All right. And remember, on our Canine Connection Podcast Facebook page, you can always ask questions, throw out topic ideas. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. And as always, thank you for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Sounds good.